RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for our Aussie catch-up, mate. We're going across the Tasman to Melbourne, Victoria, and from the unshackled.net, Tim Wilms. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Paul. Good to hear you again.
Good to have you on again, too. And I hope this report from you, unlike last week, or maybe like this week, doesn't raise my blood pressure again.
Well, it might raise your anxiety levels because it's panic, bird flu outbreak, which the World Health Organization has been telling us to prepare for over a year. And so they've been telling us it's already affected the mammals, the sea lions, and the cows, dairy in the United States.
Cull, it's coming.
Agriculture Victoria reported two separate bird flu outbreaks. It's got a new term now because bird flu's been around for
old years.
The new name is highly pathogenic avian influenza.
Oh, now that sounds worse.
Yeah, definitely. This is not your regular bird flu that's been around forever. So we'll probably be hearing about the various HN numbered variants. There was two outbreaks at two poultry farms. There were two different variants. So one was H7N3 and the other one was H7N9. So both farms now are in lockdown and there's
lockdown.
Exclusion zone.
Yeah. Oh,
and 4,000 chickens have been killed.
4,000 chickens.
Bred. Oh dear. And then, so this was reported on Wednesday and Thursday last week.
Yeah.
Also on Wednesday, Victoria's Health Department reported that a child who returned from India in March had tested positive to, well, the variant which is considered the most pathogenic and what they believe could most cause a human pandemic, H5N1.
One's been around for ages. I remember that from
yes, but this is before. This is a new clade. It's called
clade.
What's yes, a clade? So clade 2.3.4.4b.
Oh, you see, this is just all disappears up someone's backside after a while, isn't it?
I could probably double as your virus outbreak reporter because I'm always seeing what the people that really miss the COVID hysteria and the lockdowns and the rules, they're all back looking for the next outbreak. So
okay, so that child, that was ages ago.
Yes, that was in March, and it wasn't reported to the public until late May. So,
okay.
According to the Chief Health Officer of Victoria, Dr. Claire Looker, who did a media blitz, they only got the test results last weekend. So, not this weekend, the weekend.
Well, that took a while.
Well, they just thought it was influenza A, but then they did more testing through their health surveillance system. So the child was in hospital, so that's why they did.
Yeah, but fully recovered, I take it. Otherwise, we would have heard something else.
But we're told that this variant, H5N1, has a death rate of 50%. But this is just in...
Don't believe that.
Is in confirmed cases. Like, there could be people who, I mean, there could be way more. This child came from India. There could be heaps of undiagnosed.
That stings to high heaven. Don't make claims like that unless you're absolutely sure, because we know what claims like that, why they're made. It's to create fear and to create an on-ramp for these people with fevered dreams to indulge in a bit of fantasy play.
But we are reassured that the risk to humans is low. None of the child's close contacts tested positive.
You mean it's really impossible almost to catch?
Well, they're telling us to get our flu vaccines this winter because what they're worried about is if the winter flu mixes mixes with the bird flu, then it could become.
Well, what about the winter COVID that people are getting despite taking something that was supposed to stop it? Are they worried about them? I know heaps of people are sitting around sick, very ill, but apparently that doesn't exist. Okay.
Yes, the flirt variants, which I guess you can get by flirting, most hilarious named variants. So
well, if your immune system is degraded, to say no more. Yes. But okay, take your flu shot. Be careful of the shoe. But what about COVID? I suppose they want you to take more COVID shots, do they?
Oh well, Nine News, their seniors reporter Bruce Page, he'd had six COVID shots, and on he said his second bout of COVID knocked him over, and he said it was a wake up call. You're not invincible, and what a fool he is! If only he'd taken his seventh shot.
Well, he probably will, and this is the crazy thing. You seriously have to ask why people miss the obvious. And I know there are explanations for that, because admitting that you're an idiot is difficult. But, you take these things and they don't work. And that's the only thing you don't think of to ask. Okay.
I'm sure he, given he's the seniors reporter, he would have observed over his years that the winter flu can knock you for six. I mean, it's me for six a couple of times over my lifetime.
Yeah, lifetime, Tim, lifetime, not just recently, right?
Yeah. So being knocked out by a respiratory virus is nothing new. Yes, if you're not scared about bird flu, be scared of the new flirt variants. Though also with the bird flu outbreaks, be reassured, because our CSIRO, which stands for Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization, is already developing is growing bird flu inside its laboratory.
It's
the Australian Centre for Disease Preparedness. So ABC 730 last Monday, this was before the outbreaks were announced, and it's in the town of Geelong, which is actually not too far from those two bird flu.
Oh, where it is.
Yep. So they're growing the bird flu in a lab to develop a vaccine in case it becomes a human pandemic.
What happened last time someone tried to grow something in a lab?
Well, there was quite the accident, and I posted.
Or was it?
I posted this segment on my Telegram and X, and they show them in the full biohazard suits in one scene. But when the journalist goes in, they're just with goggles on. There's no masks or anything.
It's theatre, in other words.
And you see this scientist, she's injecting these bird eggs with the vaccine.
They always show shots of someone injecting something into something, don't they? That's always the standard shot for a lab.
And they've got all the different vials.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, God.
So, and over in the US, the Pfizer and Moderna stocks, they rose because the Department of Health and Human Services is going to prepare some bird flu vaccines, but the thing is, they don't know which what is the exact bird flu variant.
Well, they'll have to create one.
Missing ingredient. And of course, the World Economic Forum had their Disease X panel. Tedros, I just call him Tedros, pushing his a global pandemic treaty, though the good news is that it's fallen over.
Yep, that we heard that overnight last night.
The government has been, non-committal. Our health minister has been over there over in Geneva.
Yep, Geneva, yep.
We also have, I should mention, this is another fun fact, that our former health department secretary in Australia, Jane Holton, who's the sister-in-law of our former Victorian Chief Health Officer, Brett Sutton.
Not a great gene pool there, right?
Yes, who is the head of health and biosecurity research at the CSIRO now. So another fun fact. She, Jane Hobson, she is chair of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, which
innovations.
Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Oh, here we go.
And the World Economic Forum. Its goal is to develop a vaccine within 100 days of a human pandemic. Yeah. So it seems they're getting all their ducks lined in a row, pardon the pun.
Not chickens, but ducks. Yeah,
if a bird flew out, pandemic happens, they've got the vaccines ready to go. Look how good we were this time around. We got it to 100 days. And, of course, they'll make sure people take them because...
Yeah, but they don't work, Tim.
Yes, but they'll make sure people get them because they've got the digital ID systems up this time.
It's all coming together.
Of course, in Australia, which I reported on last week, we've got our own Moderna mRNA factory here in Victoria that Dan Andrews set up as well. So
they'll be looking after him for a few years, I imagine. This lab in Geelong, is there any talk of gain-of-function research in there?
Well, I wouldn't make any accusations. I'm quoting the journalist who went in there. They are growing bird flu in a lab. So
great.
It depends. And it was also, I remember Sherry Markson, she reported that this CSIRO Center for Disease Preparedness was also experimenting on bat coronaviruses as well.
Oh, what are the chances? Oh, man, it's a clown show. Liberal Party wanting tougher hate speech laws. What is pushing the Liberal Party to want these? What particular issue?
So if you rewind 10 years ago, the Liberal Party actually stood for liberal values and free speech. They actually wanted to repeal 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act, which makes it unlawful to intimidate, humiliate, offend on the basis of race. They were successful in getting that through the Senate. But fast forward 10 years, and after the Hamas attack on southern Israel on October 7 and the weekly pro-Palestine protests and the port blockades and the campus protests, the Liberal Party now, they believe that our hate speech laws aren't tough enough. They believe that people should have been prosecuted for chanting, well, they didn't chant gas the Jews, but where's the Jews, according to the New South Wales Police outside of the Opera House.
Okay.
The former Liberal Treasurer, Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, he's got a Sky News documentary tonight, Never Again, talking about the new rise of anti-Semitism. They've been putting pressure on the Albanese government to strengthen a hate speech laws in Australia, which in my opinion is the last thing that we need. It's always with these crises, the response is always more government, less freedom, control, policing, whether it's digital or...
But whatever happened to sticks and stones break my bones, but names, you know? I mean, it's not pleasant being called names and being vilified verbally, but in the end, you just look at them and say, unless you're physically threatened, and that's another thing, you say, well, idiots, whatever, moving on.
There's existing laws to deal with that, but of course, governments they're always eager to, well, we're going to do more, and they always have when these laws are introduced. So the Albanese government, they are of course happy to oblige. So Attorney General Mark Dreyfus, who is Jewish himself, so he's drafting new hate speech laws that will actually impose federal criminal penalties. We don't know whether that will include jail time for the offence of serious instances of vilification based on a person's race, religion, sexuality, gender, and disability. So it'll be defined a serious vilification as deliberate acts that intend to incite violence or cause harm. I don't know what they will define as harm. Now, the Liberal Party, they were demanding tougher racial and religious vilification laws, but it seems the Albanese government, they think now's our chance to insert these other attributes that we've been wanting to put vilification laws in for a while, never let a crisis go to waste. And it's also probably they want to wedge the Liberal Party as well to say, oh, you asked for this, but you don't like what we've included in there. Now, the banning vilification based on sexuality, that is basically designed to outlaw a opposition protest to drag queen story time. Gender, I doubt that'll cover biological gender. The Sex Discrimination Act, our federal one, doesn't actually define what sex is. Julia Gillard, our first female prime minister,
that's interesting, isn't it?
In 2013, her government they tried to make an attempt in having an all-inclusive vilification bill, the Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Act, but there was too much opposition from the Liberal Party at the time. But now that they've basically rolled over on free speech, it's now their opportunity. So,
oh dear, blood pressure going up. So basically, that covers everything. You can't criticize anyone for anything because they'll link it with one of those criteria that you mentioned because they're so broad and diffuse, you can never pin it down. How do you think you're going to prosecute all this? Talk about asking for the hammer to come down at some point.
Look at what is already happening now with our e-safety commissioner. So Billboard Chris is challenging in our federal court the e-safety commissioner, Julie Inman Grant's takedown order of him calling the World Health Organization's member of the Gender Guidelines Panel, Teddy Cook, who's into bondage and bestiality, biological female, trans man. The first week of the federal court case, the judge has told Billboard Chris he can't call Teddy Cook a female. Has to.
How could anyone tell someone to do that?
So you get a good idea about
what are these judges taking? Are they snorting something out in the back room or something? Doesn't make any sense.
We've also got the Giggle versus Tickle case.
We know about that.
In the federal court as well. But the fact that, it already seems like there is a bias in the trial. We're not hopeful for Billboard Chris. Now, this Teddy Cook is also the ACON, which is the AIDS Council of New South Wales Community Health Director, and they're running the Albury Wodonga Pride Night, which are screening homosexual movies, LGBTQI+, and they're allowing access, allowing entry to children as young as 12.
They're trying to groom kids. Okay, yeah. That's all right, though.
Might not be able to say that if this.
I'll still say it.
If this, if you're in Australia, this draft becomes law. We've also got the Communications Minister Michelle Rowland pushing the mis and disinformation laws, they quadrupled the power for the e-safety commissioner because we have the domestic violence epidemic, we're told.
Is it an epidemic, Tim? I mean, if it is, it is. But is it?
Well, there was a mother and daughter who were murdered over the weekend by a man with a shotgun.
He
was trying to find his ex-partner. He couldn't find her, so just murdered them instead and then turned.
Like random?
Well, he thought that his ex-partner was at the property. It was horrific.
But that doesn't make it an epidemic. As sad and horrible as that is, an epidemic comes to a certain threshold, doesn't it? I mean, how many people in your country? 28 million, something like that, or 25 million?
Oh, well, it'll be 27 million.
Okay, well, it's close.
At the moment, it'll be 28 million soon. I can guarantee that. It's also been turned into that. We need age verification for social media through your digital ID. I reported that last week, and on the weekend, the federal government launched its $40 million consent can't wait campaign.
Consent can't wait?
Yes. A lot of people have rightly pointed out the government teaching us about consent when almost everything they do is without our consent, especially during over the lockdowns and the mandates.
Tim, do you need a bolt hole that you can go to? You can come over here. It's not, this sounds like it's getting crazy, right?
I want to stay and, well, right. defend my nation. I mean,
but it is getting crazy, isn't it? I mean, listening to you, there's nothing good in there.
No, and it's bipartisan. But the thing about there's been all this talk about how early access. Well, certainly nobody can argue that early access to pornography is detrimental to young minds.
That can be addressed, though, specifically, I would have thought.
Yeah. I talked about last week better parental responsibility. Yep. That's certainly a topic which, well, we don't have time to elaborate on.
No.
Big government, big brother always says, we'll be the parent for you. But their solution is always more younger graphic sexual education and respectful relationships program, which is basically it's about neutering young boys they're coming of age as young men, basically
when you're sexualizing children at that age, and that's what's happening, then there's something very wrong with that. And it's at absolute odds with all the protestations of keeping people safe and respectful to relationships and people who are different. They're coming for the children.
Yes, this is, again, I think it's an intended consequence. Never let a crisis go to waste. Our solution is, well, our cultural Marxist groomer surveillance.
They're grubby. Gender. It's grubby. It's icky and it's grubby. And if that was a son of mine behaving in that way, because I don't think daughters would, though, who knows, man, it would be a tough time for them, be some tough love there. This just can't be, I don't want to go on, but this just can't be tolerated, can it? This will push Australians to the edge eventually, won't it?
Well, you do hope that parents rise up and reclaim their children, because that's how this ends. I mean, I talked about last week that a lot of parents, they delegate to the screen rather than controlling the screen. Yeah. And like I said, certainly there is a legitimate conversation to be had about children's access to social media.
No, get all that. But when you know, LGBTQ plus whatever has access to your child and is grooming them through story times and libraries by drag queens who usually hang out in my class.
They'll try to make a legal opposition to under that draft law that...
Well there you go. And expose, you know, I've had kids. Yeah, you know, they don't want to be exposed to this crap until they're way older than the ages that we've been talking about here. This is twisted, man. This is twisted.
You and your audience will remember I reported on those high school girls who were taught about bestiality. It was part of the plus of LGBTQI plus in a school.
I think we joked about that once, and now it's come true.
Well, that was part of a respect for relationships education program. So
the inmates are in charge of the asylum.
How these respect for relationships sex ed programs
dirty. It's dirty, is what it is.
Obviously, sex education, that should be also be something which is controlled by the parent, age appropriate.
Yes.
Or education.
Man. And
certainly, children need to be told about consent as well.
Well, you know, most parents do that anyway. Usually the guy handles the son and the other way around.
We're living in this age now where a lot of rape cases make it to court when it's regret. And so we have these what are called affirmative consent laws being passed, where basically, it almost exclusively applies to heterosexual sex, boy on girl. So if you're a heterosexual normal boy, you have to make sure that all throughout your
triplicate
intercourse with a woman, she's screaming, "Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes."
Signed on the bottom line multiple times. Yes,
exactly. Though this website says that sex is not a contract. So,
oh, okay. Just tell that to the 100,000 generations that have come before.
So, it's. Even though basically you have to have a contract to have, and of course we're told that consent can be withdrawn at any time. So it's so confusing.
Roll on, robots. I can hear guys thinking, all right, not much time left. What's this about summer blackouts? And also, I think we've talked before about the possibility of nuclear power, both here and in Australia. That's not looking so likely now, is that right?
Well, the Liberal opposition and their coalition partner, the National Party, they have been pushing nuclear power as cheap, affordable, abundant green technology. We've got so much uranium,
which it is. But
we can't use it for our own energy benefits. So it's clear that the Albanese government is going to run the mother of all nuclear scare campaigns in the next federal elections. You know, Mr. Burns, three-eyed fish cartoon stuff. I know that nuclear will never happen in New Zealand thanks to
it's possible. Don't never say never.
The COSIRO, that organization.
Not them again.
Teamed up with the Australian Energy Market Operator, AEMO, they tabled their Gen Cost Report where they claimed, and you've always got to look at the inputs of these sorts of studies, that they claim that per kilowatt hour that nuclear will cost double renewables by the time that they claim that nuclear power plants won't come on board until 2040. And they claim, even though we've got to, rewire the nation, as it's called, for $20 billion, build new transmission lines.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't take that long in other countries to build nuclear power stations. How come it takes so long?
The report said that the cost will probably blow out. And they said that based on our imports, it'll cost more than South Korea, who are the most recent nation to build nuclear power plants. So basically, it's sort of a worst. They've made sure that the cost blowouts are the biggest, and that they're not going to be for renewables.
Okay, so they don't want it. In other words,
yes, Australian Energy Market Operator, they've warned about summer blackouts. Their solution is yet again to pay heavy industries not to operate during high demand times.
Yeah, all right. So everybody go home.
Shelters. So there'll be no air conditioning's going off during the hot summer. Or I remember it was a couple of years ago now, when in winter, when there was the threat of blackouts. I know that you've had a winter shortage.
We came close, but we didn't black out.
Yes, like we did a couple of years ago. The advice from the New South Wales Energy Minister at the time, Matt Keane, a Liberal, is put your dishwasher on later at night, not during the early evening.
Oh, okay. Genius. How about just doing them manually like I do? Wow. Thank you, Tim, again. Look forward to chatting again, maybe with a bit of levity or maybe some other things that aren't so dark, next Tuesday. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.